Welcome to All Whale Stands, Back to the Basics radio show. This show is broadcast throughout Africa via shortwave and is also available as a podcast on the website allwhalestand.org. I'm your host, Tim Metzger from Rapid City, South Dakota. Let's talk about the website just briefly, and then we'll get into talking more about the miracles of Jesus. So on the website, there is a lot of information that is useful for somebody who might be hearing this for the first time or just heard it a couple times. There is information about salvation. At the very top of the website, there is what Jesus did on the cross. It is a PDF gospel track. You are free to use it and email it to whoever you want or print it and hand it out. For those of you know anyone that speaks Spanish who may hear this, in the very top right-hand corner of allwhalestand.org is an Espanol link, and there are stuff that has been translated by some friends in the ministry who have done that. And then also, there's books and Bibles online that you can go to, and all this is free. Ebooks you can take in, get a Bible for free, King James Version or VW edition, and there's tons of ebooks that you can get for free, and you could buy a print copy if you want, but they're available there for free. There's also a Christian Resource Center, and all of it has tons of information, and everything on there is free for you to take and listen to or read, and lots of good information. And then, of course, on the main part of the website, there is a whole bunch of articles that go back about 10 years. And then on the right hand of the main part of the website is a bunch of books that I have written. And a couple of them with somebody else who wrote a couple chapters of them. And all those you can take and you can download for free or go to Barnes & Noble via clicking on the book and get a copy downloaded for free from them. However that works, I've never actually done it, but they are free. And then the other thing is, if for some reason you happen to be hearing the show, and you have been left behind in the real, you're not sure what happened, people disappeared, it's crazy, please go up and go to the website, allwhalestand.org, and on the very top, you'll see left behind, and on the right column, left behind, rapture happened. Click on that link, that is right there for that very purpose. And God willing, eventually, even though this is the Back to the Basics podcast or radio program, eventually on my mind is to try to get a couple shows to go over that and put it right on that same section. That way they're there for people who will inevitably, I do believe, be looking. But let's go ahead and continue on. So didn't make it nearly as far as I thought. I thought we'd get into chapter 9 of Matthew in the last show. We made it only still in chapter 8. So we're going to begin where we left off, which we'll start with Matthew chapter 8, verse 28. And when he had come to the other side, to the country of Gergesenes, there met him two demon-possessed men coming out of tombs, exceedingly fierce, so that no one could pass that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with you, Jesus, Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time?" And a good way off from them, there was a herd of many swine feeding. So the demons begged him, saying, "If you cast us out, allow us to go away into the herd of swine." And he said to them, "Go." So when they had come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down the steep place into the sea and perished in the water. Then those who kept them fled, and they went away into the city and told everything, including what had happened to demon-possessed men. And behold, this whole city came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they begged him to depart out of their borders. And there's more to that, but this is a Back to the Basics program, so we're going to only touch on a couple things here in this episode. So one thing here is these are clearly demon-possessed people. No, I'm going to joke and say their heads still don't turn around, but these are fierce people. These are clearly demon-possessed people. And I think, you know, Hollywood has done an injustice by making everyone who is demon-possessed, because they are amongst us, there were lots of demon-possessed people that Jesus cast out, making it seem like they could only be the most craziest of them. Well, anyway, so the key here is, if we look at verse 31 of Matthew chapter 8, so the demons begged him, saying, if you cast us out, allow us to go away into the herd of swine. We're only going to touch on the basics here. So here are spirits. Spirits that God also created. Demons are part of the sons of God. We'll call them angelic beings. And they are, we'll call them the bad ones. They're the ones that rebelled against God. About a third of them. A third of the angels rebelled against God. And so they're known as demons. There's no real number given in the Bible, but they are a very large number. Nobody knows how many exactly there are of angels and demons. But here, as far as just looking at them as spirits, they recognize Jesus. And they ask a favor, begging actually, they beg him, that if he cast them out, allowing us to go into the herd of swine. And so Jesus actually allowed that to happen. And I'm not going to get too in-depth into that. It would be a totally different study. But just something to consider is that even the demons gave reverence and recognized who Jesus was. So now we're going to get into chapter 9. So we're going to start off with Matthew 9, and we're going to go through 1 through 8. So he got into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own city. And behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, Son, be of good courage. Your sins are forgiven you. So we're going to take a look at that from a different perspective too here. So let me go ahead and go over that, and then we're going to look at this from a different gospel book. So, and at once some of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemes. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise and walk? But that you may know the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Then he said to the paralytic, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. And he arose and departed to his house. And when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, who had given such authority to men. So in the last show, I had spoken about the amount of people in a town the size I'm in, or even your town, whatever size you may be, and the amount of people who would hear about Jesus and certainly have ailments that they would want healed. And certainly, I mean, imagine this. We'll just briefly touch up on that. You know, even if you're kind of skeptical, if somebody you know comes back and says, hey, yeah, no, look, you know, like, you knew I had this problem, it's gone. I mean, you would certainly be like, okay, you know what, I'm going. Where is Jesus? I'm going right now. And so we're going to go over the exact same event that happened, but we're going to look at it from a different gospel. We're going to look at it from Luke. And so starting with Luke chapter 5, verse 17 through 26. So same event. And it happened on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal him. And behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And then when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. Okay, so there's that crowd. You know, Jesus is a very popular guy. And these towns are not, you know, these towns are not 100,000 people. But I'm not sure the size of them, but most of them are pretty small. Jerusalem is large. And so you have these people, these Pharisees, these religious leaders and teachers of the law, who are there amongst these people who are the crowd, who are desiring to see what is going on. Because, I mean, even if you were already healed or you didn't have a problem, certainly this is something to see. I mean, here's people going in. And so here we go. So we talk about this, and now we're going to talk about this. Somebody being brought on essentially a stretcher. Here you got the, and there's nowhere they can't get to them. I mean, imagine, and so what do? I guess you go up on the roof, and you start taking down some of the tiles that they have, and you lower the man right before Jesus. I just imagine that as the stretcher is getting lowered to the ground, this bed, that people are kind of scooting back, and suddenly there's a little bit of room to set this bed. And it's right before, in the midst before Jesus. And so, of course, Jesus sees this in verse 20 of chapter 5, Luke. In seeing their faith, he said to him, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." Okay. So that is interesting. That is interesting. So here, we're not, once again, it's back to the basics. We're not going to get into this in depth. And definitely, I don't think you fully could. This is in the realm of God where it's something that I think we can be aware of, but where the line is drawn, it's not really possible to know, because there is a connection that one can study the Bible, and we could do a whole study on it and look at a connection sometimes between personal sin and illness, sickness, that there can be a connection between those things. But that doesn't mean that because you are sick or you have some sort of illness that it's connected to sin. That's in the realm of God to determine for each individual, and it's in the realm of their heart to even for somebody to examine themselves and let God speak to their mind and their heart regarding these things if there's questions. Certainly not, there's no way to know aside from God speaking. It's kind of like on a totally different topic, but kind of like chastisement of a believer. Something bad could very well happen to a believer, whether it's moderate, heavy. But it would only be if it was due to chastisement. And I'll throw this out there as a little bit of a bigger tidbit in the Back to the Basics program. But if we were to look at the life of David, people didn't understand when he was fleeing from his son what was going on. But David knew. David knew. It was chastisement. So, anyway, Jesus says, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." And the scribe and the Pharisees, these are the religious people, okay, that the Bible's speaking of here. So they began to reason, saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who is able to forgive sins but God alone?" But knowing their thoughts, answering, Jesus said to them, "Why are you reasoning in your hearts?" I'm going to stop right there. This is so important. These men are not recorded in the scriptures as having hollered out these things. They are in their hearts, in their minds. They are sitting there and they are thinking of this. They're saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemy? Who is able to forgive sins but God alone?" Think about this. Imagine thinking this, not speaking a word, and you have a group of who knows how many religious leaders are in there. The Bible doesn't say. And all of a sudden, you've just seen this paralytic healed. You've seen a miracle. So now you've got you have your thoughts. No, only God can forgive sins. This man speaking blasphemies. But then how do you... This is cognitive dissonance with these mindsets. How then do you take in and justify what you just saw with your eyes? Here's this paralytic. I mean, imagine seeing it coming down. And Jesus says, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." And this guy is about ready to walk out the door here. So Jesus speaks to their hearts. He says, "Why are you reasoning in your hearts?" So imagine sitting there and being one of these people questioning this. You haven't verbally said anything, And Jesus looks at you and says, why are you reasoning in your hearts? Knowing your thoughts. I mean, so right there, okay, well, now who is this guy? I mean, we can add to it. Who is able to forgive sins but God alone? Well, who is able to read the thoughts? The reasonings. Except God alone, right? So think about that as a testimony to those people who are in that room, these religious leaders. That says something very deep, and it's very easy to understand. So Jesus continues and says, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Immediately, he rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. Okay. This is the same thing. I spoke about a couple family members who had stage 4 cancer. Both of them succumbed to it. One of them had more treatment than the other. But the treatment could only allow them a little bit of additional life underneath the sun. But eventually, it took their lives. It's cancer. Cancer is a very nasty thing. And imagine somebody going there and going to Jesus and being one of those people who are terminally ill, even a loved one that you know, and Jesus just heals them. Would they not logically, should they not reasonably walk away from Christ, glorifying God? And that's what happened with this man. Who knows how long he was paralyzed? Who knows? But he was paralyzed and in a bed. That's definitely not a good thing. You know, some people have paralysis that is more minor, and some people it's very severe. But the crowd, chapter 5, verse 26, tells us, an amazement seized them all, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen incredible things today. So here they're reasoning in their hearts and their thoughts in Christ reasons with them. And he tells them that the Son of Man himself, that he has authority on earth to forgive sins. And then he then afterwards tells the man, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. And the man immediately does, glorifying God. So not only does he state something, he proves who he is by healing this man with a word. If you consider it, there's nothing about this man being touched, treated, an ointment put on him, anything. It is just simply Jesus saying, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. And verse 25, immediately he rose up before them. So, if somebody has a bad accident, a bad surgery, or they've been paralyzed and somehow they're no longer paralyzed, or they've been in a coma or in a hospital bed for a long time, they need physical therapy. You know, they're not going to be able to just get up and walk out the door. I mean, maybe with a walker, maybe with a cane, but they're not going to be able to do that. But you can see that healing was complete. And this man didn't need physical therapy. He immediately rose up before them. How long had he been paralyzed? Well, the Bible doesn't say. You know, it doesn't say that, you know, like the length of time. So it's just something to consider. So we're going to continue on. Now we're going to hop back to Matthew. We're going to continue on in chapter 9. And we're going to start with verse 18. While he spoke these things to them, behold, a ruler came and did homage to him, saying, my daughter has just died, but come and lay your hands on her, and she will live. consider this. Now, these people are aware that Jesus is healing the sick, because this isn't something that, you know, you just hear about. These are people who are going to know people who saw what was happening, or themselves were healed of some sort of sickness, or they know somebody who was. I mean, his fame is spread everywhere in the country, everywhere. Everyone is hearing of this. This is something that, you know, before the modern terms of viral, this is something that was spreading like wildfire everywhere. If you live out west, you know that can happen pretty quick. So you have this guy, a ruler, coming and telling Jesus that his daughter had just died, believing that Jesus can come and lay his hand on her and she will live. Boy, that's a new one, right? So Jesus arose, verse 19, and followed him, and so did his disciples. So as he's going, and behold, a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. We're not going to get in depth into that statement. We're just going to go over the meat of this. But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, be of good courage, daughter. Your faith has made you well. And the woman was made well from that hour. And there's another version of that, another a little bit more information like we looked at with the paralytic. But for the purpose of that, we're just going to touch on that as he's on his way to the ruler's house, that this woman had a problem for 12 years. Some sort of flow of blood problem. And she simply just touched the hem of Jesus' garment and she was made well. Because Jesus allowed it. He says, your faith has made you well. And we'll leave that one at that. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the flute players in the crowd wailing loudly, he said to them, make room, for the girl has not died, but is sleeping, and they ridiculed him. But when the crowd was put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl rose, and the report of this went out into all the land. So, once again, there's a parallel passage that we could go over that gives us some more details about who goes in there, about the parents seeing this happen, Jesus having limited disciples. We could really make that a whole study. But for the purpose of the Back to the Basics program, what we're going to do is, because this is what you need to know, this is what people listening to this need to know, is Jesus not only could heal the sick, but he could actually, and he does during his ministry on more than one occasion, he could bring the dead back to life. That is something that is amazing. Did he do it a lot? No, he did not. This is one of the times he did, which shows he's doing the absolute impossible. The absolute impossible that only God could allow to happen. There's one example of this happening in the Old Testament, and a prophet that prayed to God and God allowed him to bring somebody back from the dead. But this is something that is not common, and it's something that deals with the realm of God that is definitely God doing. So, let's continue on, and we're going to take a look at Matthew chapter 9, verse 27 through 31. And when Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. So, I'm going to stop right there. So, Son of David, they are recognizing who Jesus is, the Messiah, the Christ. He is the Son of David. It is one of the prophecies fulfilled. They are recognizing that. And they're crying out to him, have mercy on us. They're blind. Verse 28. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to him, do you believe that I am able to do this? And they said to him, yes, Lord. Then he touched her eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you. And their eyes were open, and Jesus strictly ordered them, saying, see that no one knows it. But when they had departed, they spread the news about him in all that country. So, we're not going to fully get into that also as far as Jesus ordering them, saying, see that no one knows it. But what we're going to get into is the blind people being made to see. So, okay, so we are going to get a little bit into this. So you have the religious people of the day, the scribes, the Pharisees. And these are people who've studied the what we would call the Old Testament writings. These are people who knew of the prophecies. And so here you have two blind men coming to Jesus. And there's going to be, this is going to be widely known like everything else. And they're coming there, and Jesus opens the eyes of the blind. This is, let me just touch on this. We're almost out of time in this show, so I will go quickly. And it is back to basics. So let's just go ahead and take a look at why the scribes and Pharisees should have known that this was the coming one. This was the Messiah. This was the Christ. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 7 and 8 from the Old, or 6 and 7 from the Old Testament says, I, Jehovah, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand and will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the nations, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, those who sit in darkness out of the prison house. That is speaking of Jesus. It is a prophecy that was fulfilled right there during Jesus' ministry as he was opening the eyes of the blind. So we're going to hop ahead to Acts and take a quick look at that before we're out of time. So speaking of these people, Stephen says in Acts chapter, we'll go just go over Acts chapter 7, 51 through, let's go through 55 perhaps. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. This is, by the way, Stephen speaking to, this is after Christ has already risen. He's speaking to the rulers. They're questioning him. He's actually basically under arrest. He says, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. You always oppose the Holy Spirit as your fathers did. So do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they, who received the law by the command of angels and did not keep it, killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. So I'll stop there with verse 54, and then we're going to take a look at one more thing. So, and this will be the topic for the next show, as we'll be going over more of Jesus' miracles. We're going to take a little bit more of an in-depth look into this healing of the blind, because it is quite interesting. But as a backdrop, we're going to get into just a basic here, and let me finish this up real quick before I'm out of time. This is speaking of John the Baptist, Luke 7:19. And John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to Jesus, saying, are you the coming one, or should we expect another? When the men had come to him, they said, John the Immerser has sent us to you, saying, are you the coming one, or should we expect another? And in the same hour, he cured many of diseases, plagues, and evil spirits, and to many who were blind he gave sight. And Jesus answered and said to them, go and tell John the things you have seen and heard, that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he who is not made to stumble because of me. That was Jesus' answer to John the Baptist, and we're just going to basically, that's it. We're going to touch on it right there. There's a lot there. But that answer, and including that, where Jesus says in verse 22 of chapter 7, he says that the blind see. Right there, John, knowing the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures, that what we call the Old Testament, which is the Old Testament, but would have been the only thing that the Jews had during that time, he would know that that is definitely a sign that, is he the coming one? That was the question that John had. The answer is yes, based upon the Bible, and that would be the guide that we have to answer any question. You know, you have a question, what does the Bible say? We must compare these things to the Bible. So John could have compared what his disciples saw and what Jesus told him to tell John, and said, yes, this is the coming one. Until next time, have a great week.